This is a production of Cornell University.
Employee Assembly Meeting, October
17th, 2007. Good afternoon. I'd like to call our October 17th meeting to order. At this time, I'd like to call for any late additions to our agenda.
Yes, I have one.
Okay.
I was trying to think of what it was. Wellness.
Okay, we'll add that right under our committee reports.
Can I have one? I know I'm not a part of the group, but...
No, definitely. You want
MLB playoffs?
No,
we really have to talk about that. My team didn't make it.
My team did. Birthday.
Such a boss. Happy birthday, Peter.
Happy birthday.
Any other
ladies? Happy birthday.
Well, I'll check his line in my email.
No wonder he's acting like
this. I just turned 19.
How old are you?
I just turned 19.
Come on, hold it.
27.
27? Okay. Do you know that I was born over in 27? I was like 40 when I was
born. I believe that.
Yeah, no, it's something.
Well, we wish you a happy birthday, Peter. We're going to move on to the business of the day. I'd like to welcome President Scorton and Mary to our meeting. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your support. We have a small PowerPoint presentation to kind of highlight some of our goals and work that we've been doing.
That would be great.
And we'd like to show you that now.
You can walk through it.
Okay, for the year 2007-2008, up to October 17th, these are the Employee Assembly accomplishments. What we've done is we've established goals. Some of them will be annual. They'll always happen, be reoccurring, and others are goals that we're going to work on this year. And we may get them done, we may not. But it's things that we as a group recognize as being important enough to spend more of our time on. We've increased our communication. We've re-engineered our internal process. We provided presence at events. We've helped coordinate the best employer talks and hosting them. We're working on a new employee orientation, and we've attended leadership lunches. Our goals and priorities. What we did to do this is we put every issue on the table, and the Employee Assembly members categorized all of them. And we, like I mentioned before, we have annual and continuous categories, issues from employees, employee benefit initiatives, reach and scope, process and procedure, finance, and recognition for contribution. Our top five goals are the President's Address. We were successful in holding that. I think it was a very nice turnout. Number two, providing the mechanism for staff to bring issues to the appropriate place. Some of these we're going to get into a little more later on in the presentation. My personal favorite, define and identify who do we represent and where are they. Establish a mechanism to track progress on goals. So not only do we want to establish goals, we want to monitor them to see if we're actually meeting them and what we may need to do to adjust to meet them. Improve relations with all Cornell offenders. We're going into each goal specifically, the President's Address. We had a good turnout. I played a big part in that, so it was my first. I did not make it last year, so I don't know what to compare it to. I think it was really nice. I heard a lot of good feedback, a lot of nice articles. providing a mechanism for staff to bring issues to the appropriate place. At this time, I'd like to invite Carrie Howe to speak about this.
So the Communications Committee and the entire EA has been working hard to provide mechanisms so that people can give us feedback and, as Brian mentioned, make sure that we track it and we provide people who've given us requests to make sure that we're providing them with feedback as well. So a few examples of requests that we've received, and to date we've received about 10 requests. And these are for unsolicited feedback. We didn't go out and say, you know, we want to hear about X. People have just been emailing the employee assembly or talking to us at the events that we're holding, and we're getting some feedback on things. For example, requests to review the idea of being able to use sick leave time for volunteering efforts, requests to look into the development of a wellness release time policy, and requests for staff to receive time off in proportion to years worth at the university and employee sabbatics. And so those are just an example of three of, as I mentioned, about 10 to 15 requests that we've received so far. And so what we've been doing is putting them into a single document, recording when we're receiving them, and then passing them on to either one of the employee assembly committees that handles these particular topics, or directly giving them to, let's say, the benefits department if it's a benefits question, or whatever department is the expert on a given topic who can provide the best answer for that individual who has a question. And then we're just, as I mentioned, we're just tracking that progress on those.
So is there a way that I can know what's in that database?
Sure.
Where it is?
I can certainly send you a copy.
Two of the three of those I actually sent to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be good if we stayed.
Yep. So I have that document. I keep it up to date, bring it with me, and I'd be happy to provide you with the document.
Mm-hmm. And like Carrie mentioned, you know, we're not the experts in every area, but what we do is just, this is going to help us so nothing falls through the cracks and we don't look like we're an incompetent elected body. Everybody does get an email or some kind of correspondence saying we've received it. And whether it be, hey, call this number, the Human Resource Department is going to be able to help you answer that, or it's something that we may want to look into a little more, we can do that.
Just a question, Carrie, about the, it's stimulated by your yes and about communication between her and you guys. I'm still so used to the public sector. In the sort of counterpart organization, they used to publish minutes of these kind of meetings, and they went out to everybody in the university and the public in general. I know that that's not the way things are done in private universities. How do the rankings by all employees know what's on this list and what the goals are and what they've worked on? How does just a person that doesn't, is not an EA, doesn't go to meetings, how do they find out?
And that's a good question. And what we talked about, Dennis and myself and the executive committee have talked about, that first we receive them and then they get processed and then they go to the appropriate body to, you know, to be discussed, whether it be an EA committee or another place. And then at that point, when the discussion is at a point where it's appropriate to share it with the entire employee assembly or with Mario or with yourself, then we get the feedback from, again, more experts on it. And at that point, it may be appropriate to either open it up at one of these events, like a president's address, for feedback, or at or through paw prints for communication that way. And so we're working on it. That's part of the process that we're working on. It's at what point is it appropriate to go out to the entire university and say, you know, solicit feedback on these different topics. And
there's more to come from Bill about that, because we've actually defined, again, different ways of communicating, different channels that are out there, and we're always open to suggestions. Maybe it'd be nice to have a, you know, hit the all staff email list, but you know, we know that's not a possibility in most cases.
There's actually some problems with, as you guys know, with communicating too early or too broadly. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just trying to figure out.
Right.
But where to find that sweet spot is always tough to know.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me one more time, Carrie, these things that you're working on are have come to you unsolicited, not in response to a call for whatever, you know, issues to discuss. Okay.
Right, correct. And one thing that we have encouraged people to do is when they come to us and say, I'm curious about what issues the Employee Assembly is handling right now, we either say, come to one of our meetings, or each of these meetings is also recorded, and then the recording is placed on the Employee Assembly website for access. So that's definitely one way that people can stay up to date, and they're encouraged to do that as well.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and we're careful with these requests. We don't know if it represents the majority opinion of the entire Cornell community or if it's just one person. So that's why we take it.
We're doing the whole processing.
Redirect yeah. it, and that's it. The next, define, identify. Who we represent, where are they? Bill Littick will be speaking on this.
Okay. For this one, I think I'll stand up so I can come up to it.
And you passed out.
Yeah, I did have copies. I don't know if everybody got them. I think the copy is actually a more recent version.
This one. Give one more.
Here's. So the copy you have in your hand is more recent than this. This is a work in progress, but basically one of our big priorities is reach and how do we get out to all the employees and so forth. And we're trying to look at it a few different ways. So I'm going to talk about the visual document we have here first, then we can talk about the other sheet afterwards. But basically, what I was trying to envision when we talked to the communications committee, which I'm part of, and we got together, we said, let's try and do some kind of visual representation of the employees and also the employee assembly. So we took the map. Basically, over here, we're trying to list where all of these staff are to get some indication. And we also listed the employee assembly members, and this top piece basically represents the department they work in, and then what you'll see is where the departments are located. So for myself, for Campus Life, Bill Littick and Hazel are here, and we also have a lot of employees down West Campus. So each one of these boxes represents a different group. Terry has athletics, which is the wellness, and the athletics group down here where a lot of staff is. Now, we know with those boxes, we don't capture everybody. It's kind of capturing where the majority of it is. So it was really just kind of a visual of where are we located, where is the staff that we normally work with located, and then identifying the rest of the staff that are in other groups. And the next step we really have is to take this information out and say, okay, what does it do for us? I've got a couple ideas myself, but I'd rather, you know, we get out, talk to ConCom first, run across some recommendations, and let the whole employee and somebody else get recommendations on it. But there are some things that pop out that I think are beneficial. So that was just kind of one look. I don't know if you have a slide on the other sheet or not. I doubt that's fine. The other sheet is looking at just different ways that we might be able to communicate groups, and this isn't anything, we haven't done anything with this beyond what we've ever done in the past yet. But we're trying to recognize where we might be able to communicate, how we might best be able to do it. And one of our thoughts are to look at, when we do a communication, some type of hierarchy so that we get out to the right groups. And our thought, on a very general basis, is the president's address probably is something we should try and get out to all the staff to make sure they're there. There are other things that might be more minor that we might get out to a select group of staff. So we're working on a process. We don't have it all defined yet, but setting up a hierarchy that says, when we have something to communicate, where does it fit, and then try and send it out to the right group. So just formalizing things somewhat and trying to do a better job of reach, make sure we're hitting the appropriate people, and at the right time, making sure we're hitting all of the staff. So it's kind of where we're at this point. It's not finished yet. You'll see it's drafted on both of them, but we're getting close at this point.
There's one other thing that came up in a discussion we were having. I was having with the people who do at Cornell Chronicle, and I'm having the same conversation with a lot of groups, so it's not just the EA, but the paper has been greatly upgraded, and Tommy's been spending a lot of time making it better. And there are special sections or features on, you know, land grant or work life or whatever. And the only thing I'm worried about, I think it's a great approach, the only thing I'm worried about is that people will tend not to look at those sections if they're not involved. And whatever's on the front page, everybody looks at it first thing. And so I've asked that they consider having making sure that they move around the focus on the front page, that it tends to be current events, you know, which makes sense. And I've asked them to think about maybe playing up one student organized activity periodically, and one of the student office hours that I have. There's a fashion show design league, I think it's called, and they're looking for ways to get the advertising. And then I asked this month, as we talked about the second, I wrote a column about staff for the alumni magazine, and wondering to show periodically, it's a special feature on a staff member who's doing something interesting, but not tucking on their work life or page or have it only in pop print. And so, I don't know, Dennis, if you were talking about that, or you might hear about it. But the idea would be, and it's a little contrived and arbitrary, but move around the front page attention somewhat. And you might be hearing from Tommy about that.
Okay.
Because I would assume he would come to Mary and you guys, he has already. So these guys would just keep it. Okay.
They don't know what they're going to do about it. They just
have
to. The topic at one of our leadership breakfasts, that Tommy was there, we did talk a lot about the papers and different ways of getting advertising in there and different lists of when the meetings are. So we're a little familiar with it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Establish a mechanism to track progress on goals.
Okay, I think I'm jumping in on that one too.
Yep. Yeah.
And just real quick, real briefly, since we did establish the goals on the retreat, we also did discuss, okay, now that we have these goals, we need to put together a form of tracking mechanism, which we have. I don't have it here to present, but basically it's one that's listed by priority. It represents each of the committees, the different goals that are provided into those committees, and then we do have a mechanism that the committees can feedback on the general status of the goals, where they're at. So
that's a template for it.
Yes, that's the template there. So it's a pretty simple mechanism, but it's kind of straightforward. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep track, make sure we're on schedule.
It's great.
Yeah, we're gonna these goals are report card. Okay, Peter, improve relations with all Cornell assemblies.
Before I do this part, I just want to mention that while everything we mentioned so far seems really overarching and abstract, it is actually really new for us because this year we focused on accountability and follow-through. And you notice with that chart, the goals, the REACH project, and the new internal processing system, what we've worked really hard on is to keep track of everything we do and stay on top of it. Because in years past, the employee assembly has always gotten lots of different ideas and emails and whatnot from different staff members, and a lot of them tend to get lost in the shuffle for a variety of reasons, turnover in the assembly, members and whatnot. And we've really worked really hard this year on codifying our processes and creating sort of informal policies for the executive committee and the whole employee assembly so we can actually track all of our goals and our projects and the employee issues and have those documents available year to year. So next year when we have a new executive committee, we won't lose all that work. We can say, here's our documents. So one of the things we've worked on, like I mentioned, is improving our relations, not just to reach with our constituents, but also with the other assemblies, the OA, the students, and all the other assemblies via, by inviting them to different members here. We've got a member of the OA here. We usually have a member of the GPSA here, right? And, Bill is on the OA, and we're just working hard on getting members of the EA system on other assemblies to invite them here. And then when we get a few new members on the employee assembly, because we're a little bit short, then we're going to hopefully encourage them to join as well so we can get an even broader representation. And then by communicating, trying to connect with those assemblies more, and with the office assemblies, we can coordinate some of the projects we're working on. And then really bring them together. And that also helps connect staff, faculty, and students, which for the longest time have been almost completely separate bodies on the campus.
It's true.
Thank you. So we don't want to do double work. If one assembly is doing the same work we're doing and we're not communicating, that's just double data entry kind of. And then I thought it would be fair to mention some of our other goals. Tuition reimbursement initiative. Peter mentioned creating a mechanism for communicating with the other assemblies in our constituents, tie in the university and the president initiatives, to our initiatives, and expand the eligibility of emergency grant funding.
Can you just tell me what you're doing on a tuition reimbursement initiative?
It was an idea that was tossed up. We haven't done anything formal with it at all, as far as it being an idea out there. So we've heard a little bit about it. It's just that the EA members, we agreed that, hey, this is important to us, and so it's listed as a goal. We haven't pushed that, unless there's anything else to add, somebody jump in. But we haven't pushed that yet because of time. So it's not a...
Those are the sorts of goals that we had a conversation, actually, a lunch conversation. Tuition reimbursement from the part of the benefit plan, and we have people in our office that work on these. So if you get ideas or suggestions from staff, it's been a good way for you to make sure that you're stewarding somebody's ideas. Just get to the people in the university that are actually paid to run and improve these with your views that you heard from the staff about the idea, rather than spending your time doing what we pay other staff members to do. So if you've got a set of ideas from staff, what would be great is if you sent those to us and then track. You know, are the benefits people responding? Are we answering back to you? Have you asked a question and gotten it? Let me know so that I'm sure that you're getting the right response. You know, have we heard it too? Have we heard something different? You know, let's partner that way.
Definitely.
And the charts that you're doing, you know, will facilitate that. So the next column of the chart is great.
We didn't hit on that yet. Other than it's an idea and it just seems important. So
right. But they are members of your staff on the education committee, so that's how.
Right. But this has been on our long-term goals on the benefits area, and actually we've done quite a bit of work in benchmarking and looking at this. So, you know, maybe one thing to start with is to see what we've heard. You know, is it different from what you've heard? You know, are we aiming our energies in the same direction that you're hearing staff want to aim? You know, let's not have our office wasting time or going in the wrong direction. So if you know things that we might not know, let's get that partnership started right away.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Very true. And then one to mention is that working with other bodies, we had a presence at the Employee Celebration Day. And we got a nice picture here from the football game. And that's all I have for the presentation. If you have any questions on our goals and what we're working on doing, you can ask.
I guess the one thing I would say is that I think you're very well organized and you're doing things in the right way. And there's always going to be endless conversation about are these the right goals, are they followed up right, and so on. But the fact that you have a tracking system and you have discrete goals is really great. I think the whole university as an overall body, you know, it doesn't have such a thing as an overall. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but I think this is great that you're doing it. And I'd love to. When I hear my regular meetings with Mary, I'll be able to keep up and when I see you for so this is a really kind of
Thank you. Next, moving on to the next item of business of the day, we'd like to ask both of you if you could comment on the recently announced $20 million investment in Ithaca and Tompkins County Community Mortgage Assistance.
Can you start on this? So every college town, you know, has a bunch of town gown issues and universities and other kinds of institutes that are tax exempt. Everywhere in the United States that I've been or heard about, the same issue comes up. We're a tax exempt footprint, and therefore everybody else is not part of that footprint is somehow paying more money in their taxes and so on, because the denominator subtracts out the presence of an educational charitable institution, whatever it might happen to be. And so different places have dealt with that in different ways. A common way to deal with it is to find some area where the entity, whatever it is, say the university, thinks that it can do something for its own employees. And especially in a small college town like this, an enormous university, that footprint of the employees, the faculty, and staff ends up accounting for some substantial piece of the population. Maybe not the majority, but usually the biggest single piece. So what a lot of places have done, including you all have done here for years, is have some voluntary partnership between the university and the surrounding municipalities. So the university is doing something on the order of its share of whatever it happens to be. And there's many, many different ways of doing that. Different universities do it in different ways. Once in a while, you see tremendous friction between the town and the town. Like you guys read about a couple years ago in Manhattan, in Columbia, talking about buying up a slice of Harlem and building, you know, dozens of buildings and space for faculty and staff and students in what was a residential neighborhood. And it's still going on now. So with that background, when I first got the opportunity here, and I went and met with a lot of the leaders of the town, the village, digital villages, and the city, the county, school superintendents, the tri-county area, it was clear, a couple things were very clear. One, there was a lot of good communication between the university leadership, various people in the leadership, Mary, Steve Golding, Steve Johnson, people who work for the VPs like Green and Gary Stewart, between those folks and people in the communities responsible for different functions, transportation, fire safety, EMS, and so on. The two issues that came up the most commonly in my initial conversations were, number one, is Cornell paying its fair share? And a lot of data was shown to me in different areas about what other universities similarly comes out to how we are as a broad category, what they're putting in voluntarily their communities compared to what we are. And the second, and so that was the number one issue. The number two issue had to do with housing and transportation, a whole continuum of keeping people toward the center, having a vibrant downtown area, safe downtown area. And that latter came in the 60s and 70s. Many, many cities the size of it around the country built things like the Commons. And many of them are going south because of malls being put up at the edge of cities, sort of like, to some extent, the strains are here. And that, I know that there's been some concern about that here, but the basic topic of the conversation was, what could the largest employer do to facilitate people staying toward the center, keeping the center vibrant, and also having those folks who cannot afford to have single family dwellings and so on have some sort of affordable housing. When I met with individual community leaders during the course of the year, those were always the top two. There were many other individual issues, some hot issues, but those were always the top two. So the VPs have been working on this, you know, long before I came here. And we just decided, I decided, sort of the last minute, to be honest with you, that I didn't want to pass up the opportunity of the community leaders brunch that we had before the football game a couple of weeks ago. Didn't want to pass up the opportunity to say that we are going to do something to care for our employee pool and therefore reduce some pressure on these issues in the town. That's the whole story. There is no more. There's a lot of details about things that have gone on for as long as 10 or 12 years to lead up to this, in some areas less. But the basic idea, the basic concept is that we do what is possible to be done to deal with these issues for our own employee pool and student population. Whether it has to do with a college town vision project or, as you've written down here, a mortgage assistance plan, there's 100 different things you can imagine. It's more than I'm sure I can imagine, since you know the territory better than I do, how that would get worked out. There are no details yet, except that I hope it was clear, and I actually five different times in the speech that are in there to try to make it clear that the expenditure will be Cornell expenditure. Spending money on Cornell employees or students or for benefits for those people one way or another. But because we're such a big part of the footprint of the community, we would try to make our decisions in a way that would indirectly benefit the community. And probably the single best example is the affordable housing. If there's an affordable housing issue for a slice of the socioeconomic spectrum, then our piece of that slice, we should take the responsibility as a university to do the best we can. the constraints on that are obvious. There are financial constraints and organizational constraints. And over the next weeks and months, more of this stuff will come out. I know the mayor was saying, and basically said the same thing. We have the intention of helping the community by being a very good employer and good place for students to go. And that's it. When details are available on things that will affect the staff population, which will be a very strong focus of this, you'll hear about it through Mary. Mary will coordinate the communication from other VPs in other areas. But I guess the bottom line, if people ask you, what I'd appreciate you telling me, is just two things. One is that we're serious about it, and after years and years of people planning and wanting to do this, we're going to do something. And secondly, we're going to help the community by helping our own people. And then how that actually plays out mechanistically, there's a different answer right now. Is that clear?
Steve Johnson is coordinating and
bunching
ideas at the leadership level, and so we're working with him. So right now what we're doing is just putting together our list of possibilities in these areas. Our goals are, our goals are multifaceted. We would like to see, I would like to see people who choose to get a little closer in an issue for a 24/7 institution when people are really far away. We would like to see people on the bus routes to reduce the demand for parking on the campus. So our hope here is to try to develop a sort of coordinated response to our transportation demand management issues, as well as some of our realities as a workforce in the middle of rural, snowy upstate New York. And the fact that we have, by virtue of a decision that we've held to, not outsourcing, but employing our own people and trying the best we can to give an equal set of benefits to everyone, we have a reality in terms of pay. So we do employ people who make a very low wage, and what we can do for them to try to get to the basics of their lives. And that's a personal priority for me. So there's a lot of stuff all wrapped into one, and there's a lot of other things that are competing for the same set of dollars. The things that the community would like us to do around bike paths and all sorts of things like that. So everything's getting put into the mix, and we're looking at a 6-month planning window and then going into that.
A couple other quick things I'll add. In the talk I said it was a 10-year project to roll the money out, and that just gives an idea, a rough idea, that it's a big issue. But there's two things. First, as I would comment on, I'd be curious to see if Mary agrees or disagrees, or others of you. Well, one is, I think we have to be careful not to bleed out these possibilities scenarios before we know whether they're actually options, because pretty soon they become sort of part of the folklore that, we're thinking about maybe doing X as a way to solve Y, and then pretty much people start to expect you're going to have to do X, or why are you doing X? You said you would do X. And on the other hand, you have to talk to people and get feedback and so on. So that'll be a balancing act, like I was asking you before about, how do you let people know what you guys are doing in the leadership planning mode. And the other issue is that universities in general, and I don't mean to say this about Cornell, I'm just saying in general, tend to be extremely concerned about trying something and having a planning in order, which you say if it doesn't work, you just stop doing it. We tend to do things and do them forever. And so I'm guessing that somewhere along the line, in one of these areas, we'll just have to try something in the pilot and see if it works or not. And the community will have to understand whatever it is that we just try and see how it works and find out from employees and students, is it working for people or not? Because the problem is enormous. And the university in some areas is going to be stable in size, in some areas will grow in response to the availability of federal funding or philanthropy or whatever it might be. And so it's hard now to predict exactly in 10 years who has to be in here 24/7. What does it all mean? Will we be on hoverboards? Like, I was going to say like young people like you, but you're not so young anymore. So the thing is that 10-year window is a sort of a tough thing. I think the first thing we should do is try to actualize stuff that people like Mary have been working on trying to get done for some years, that there's general consensus needs to be done, like we need people closer. But I would say certainly by the review, by the end of the fiscal year, by next summer, there should be some detail that can be shown.
We're sort of fixing on these plannings though right now, because these are complicated programs. We're going to, I think, both have something at one, and there are two issues that aren't on your agenda that we wanted to talk about. One is an award, actually, that the university won, and the other is an update from the president on the university's goals. So I don't want to take you off your agenda, but...
Go ahead. I'm not sure if you want to come off your agenda. You can measure the word, the word that intermediate is just what you
said. I thought it though, and that's all that counts. Not going there. Okay, so I'm going to really quickly give you a word so you can do the information on the goals. Because both of these are going to, hope you're all going to try to find time to go to the State of the University Press on Friday. It's in the Statler Auditorium, right? At 8:30. But there are two things that I told you here before. One is that we won an award. That's right. We won a pretty big award, actually, from the Department of Labor. It's called EVE. It stands for Exemplary Voluntary Effort. And what it and you have to be invited to apply. You've applied actually three times. It's about our diversity efforts on the campus, above and beyond, as a federal contractor, above and beyond what you're required to do by the law, which is significant, I might add, what they make you do. These are the things we do above and beyond. And so, Manesh Williams is our key relationship manager to the federal government for our federal contracting compliance requirements. She's asked to apply. And it's the regional level last year, which is no small feat. I mean, there were six regional winners. This year, on Monday, actually, we were notified presently that we're one of four winners nationally this year. So in 2007, we'll be a national award winner. It's a big, big deal for us because it means that among the thousands and thousands of contractors across the whole country, we are in a very small subset that were identified as having innovative and potentially very effective voluntary efforts.
And the only university in the
world.
So it's really, really good. It's, many of you have worked on that, and if you hear about this and see what they're doing, it's really a great thing. The other thing is that has to do with planning, and we have decided a few months ago to try to develop a university-wide enunciation of the university's goals and overall strategies to achieve its goals. And the university has a lot of good plans and a lot of goals established at the unit level. Like, you've got your goals as an organization, and you're making clear our colleges have goals, the different vice presidential offices. Mary's office actually has a very well-developed entire strategic plan. But there's no university strategic plan or university-wide goals. And as far as I can tell, there hasn't been for a very long time. There was a 2.5-year project, perhaps some of you who were there at the time, in the early to mid-90s, got started and got to the draft final stage, but never actually got finalized and approved and sent out. So it's 20 years anyway since the university, probably more, has had a plan. So we've developed a real, real straightforward list of what we're calling overarching goals and the university mission and vision statement, a title for current plan, and some enabling strategies, and assessment of external environment for higher education, and assessment of our ability to respond to the environment. And that thing itself will be rolled out probably in January at the board meeting, but Friday, I'm just going to announce the goals, and we're still arguing among the VPs, which is largely the VPs arguing in charge, about whether we should have them on a PowerPoint or whether the moment will be spoiled by having individuals and we should just watch them talk. And I'm sort of letting VPs find out. Making PowerPoint slides just in case, since it is the day after the month. And anyway. Anyway, here's five goals up here real quick, but they're not for dissemination. including the footprint. So the first one talks about elements of being a good employer for faculty and staff. Staff are prominent in the future. Secondly, is to be a good place for students to go enroll and educate and graduate the diverse population of students. And it talks about both curricular and extracurricular student life kind of things. The third one is to talk about the enabling faculty and staff and students as teams to work on scholarly activities of various kinds, focusing on research. The fourth one talks about the land grant mission and also being extending our reach out to the world and building capacity. And then the fifth one, which is odd for a strategic plan, is a goal about running the organization well, running the organization efficiently, doing things in a way that keep the place stable, fiscally healthy, and so on. So those are the five goals. None of these are surprises. You've all been working on these for eons, but they're just not stable. So they'll be out there. And when you had that one bullet, Brian, where you said, you know, articulate or whatever the verb was with university / presidential initiatives, you'll have something to coordinate with, you know. And better credit Mary and Steve Bowling, and to some extent Vivian Deans, for building pretty impressive plans, but there just wasn't coordination into one, you know, sort of headline and set of issues, and it'll be out there as of Friday. But the goals and the whole plan will be done, and everybody's going to take it.
So for the first time since I've been here, we talk about line of sight between what you do and what the university's mission, vision, and values are, and this will be the first time we'll be able to do that. People will be able to look at what they do and figure out, you know, am I doing something consistent with and for the university's mission and goals? It's a really huge accomplishment.
That's not easy to accomplish.
We had a retreat yesterday with the deans and vice presidents. It was a great 3-hour retreat. Everybody was engaged. So we're playing catch up to the end.
Well, we had in the spring and summer, the deans and the vice presidents had planning retreats in preparation for that. President and the provost then took everything that came out of that and actually crafted the first line of these, and that made a huge difference. And this day was actually one of the better meetings I've been to. People were really engaged and focused, and the conversations were healthy, debates on the right kinds of issues, and this is a really important direction, agreement on the direction.
Agreement on direction. You won't be surprised, but it will be great that you see it. So thanks for another meeting.
Excellent.
And Mary can stay as long as you would like to keep
Happy
birthday, Liz.
Thank you
very much for coming.
Is this your top thing you've been all day for your birthday?
Yeah, it's actually the only thing I've got going after me. Very lonely.
I thought that about you.
Peter, did you get my comments on that?
Yeah.
Someone should have told you I was a school.
You got a D minus.
I'll just admit, I'm going to look at that D.
I do it for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to move ahead here, see what we can get through. Report from the chair. Now everything's going well. This meeting was, I believe, successful. It will be good, actually, what they mentioned, to have goals for the university. I know even at the college level, they have a hard time without anything to go by. It sounded like some of them were kind of close to what ours are. Don't know if anyone is, besides Bill and myself, are attending the football game this weekend, but that's happening. The trustees will have a presence there. And you know, Amy offered, extended the offer to members, right, to see if they wanted to go. It'd be a good time. That's it. That's all I have from the chair. And Michael's not here.
Michael's not here, but I spoke to him this morning.
Uh-huh.
So I just have a quick update. And
okay.
And we made sure that I ran in that the state of the university address on Friday. So hopefully everybody can make that. And the trustee meetings are being held. There's a little bit going on today, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning.
he'll be gone to them.
Thank you, Don. Report from the UA representatives.
We haven't met since, have we? Yeah. I was trying to think back and say this, but we haven't met since the last time we were together.
So nothing to report? Okay. There are no minutes to approve for this meeting. We'll move on to our committee reports. Executive Committee. We spent a lot of time working out the details of what we were going to present to President Sloan and Mary, and that pretty much consumed everything. And does anybody else have anything to add on that? Okay. Staff Award Recognition Committee, nothing to report. Communication Committee?
We met yesterday, and what did we talk about? The Philly staff listening to leaders. We talked about that a little bit. We talked about REACH quite a bit, the REACH project, and Bill just going gung-ho on that, and as you saw, that was in the PowerPoint. So that's really moving forward, and soon we'll have a plan around that so that we can process even more. And I'm working on the brochure. That kind of got stalled for a little bit. Tori and Sebastian were working on that, so I've taken over that project. So I'm going to move forward on the brochure.
You're just going to do it on the weekend.
I will, exactly.
Between killing rabbits.
Yeah, I'll be working on the brochure. And then the Welcome to Cornell new employee orientation. The first one is on the 30th of this month. And I've been giving you kind of updates along the way on that. The first rollout date is the 30th. And so I'll definitely do that on the 30th. I'd like to have one other volunteer. If you don't need a volunteer yet, I'll send around the date for it. And it's from 10 till 1. And again, this is for all new hires at Cornell. And Cornell hires about 2,000 new employees each year. So it'll be great. That the first one of the first things they get accustomed to is seeing the employee assembly, knowing that we're here to help support them and their role that they can play on staffing committees for us. So really excited about this opportunity to be there. We're just going to have display boards and hand out information and maybe have some giveaways there and just interact with all these new employees coming to campus. And as I mentioned, it's from 10 to 1, so what I was thinking is that I'll ask four or two people to staff the booth. It's a once a month orientation. And so when we are fully staffed, the commitment would probably be once or twice in an entire year, where I'd ask for you to be there for an hour and a half out of the time. So I'll be sending around all of the dates, but again, just jot down October 30th is the first one from 10 to 1. So I'll send that out as a request. You who else can help me.
Thank you. Finance Committee.
Okay, Finance Committee has not met, but I do have two items I'd like to bring up. One, the President's address. Amy gave me the final numbers, and thank you, Amy, by the way, for putting it together. The expenses came to $7,321.26. In our budget, we have $3,200, which is what we're going to put in, and the other $4,100 plus, I believe it's Mary's offered up the.
$4,121.26.
Okay. Okay. And the other quick item is the auction that we had for the emergency grant fund. We are responsible to take care of the lunch on that. It's part of what we've done in the past. We do only have $100 in the budget. The lunch was $434 and some odd cents. I have actually asked Deb Billups, who has been the chair, I know she's, I think she's going to be leaving that position, but has been the chair, to take the difference this year and that we would try to budget properly next year to take the whole lunch. So to take it out of what they actually earned in the auction for the $300-something, because I just don't see where we can pick it up in our budget.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yes,
I understand the sort of dire circumstances that we
he's trying to find himself in that. And I think there's another political concern here as well. People who go to the emergency grant auction are there to support the emergency grant fund, not there to support the depression for the emergency grant fund. So I think it's just a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
If you channel money that's intended for your emergency grant fund into refreshments,
more than much.
I understand why you're looking to have a shortfall, but I also think it's very bad PR for the emergency grant fund, and for the assembly, to have that sort of sleight of hand there. That if we ask people to contribute to this, we give voluntarily of their time and their items for the emergency grant fund. So I would like you to think in terms of that as well. That I think it's not quite as easy as a decision or choice that the person is doing.
No, definitely not. It's point well taken. We can talk amongst the executive committee and superintendent. We can do something and talk to the employees, the whole employee assembly.
We might have to.
It'll be a shift from
it'll
somewhere else.
It'll be a challenge. Yeah. Good point, Matt. Thank you.
Has this ever happened in the past? $100.
I
don't know if it's always been $100.
That's how
we give them, but I guess
I'm wondering,
why was it so high?
It's probably a large turnout from previous years. They probably paid for their own food.
I don't know. Not being involved in the past.
Typically pizza.
Exactly.
Quite well, it was pizza. It was pizza and soda.
And people pay $1 for pizza
$400.
And soda. $400. It's $434. I didn't get that.
Yeah, it was 16 sheet pieces, I think they had.
So I thought what we had talked about in the exact meeting, though, too, is that because they pay $1 for that, where did that money all go? So they pay $1 to get pizza.
Yeah.
And has that traditionally been used in the
we
taking taken
from those sales, and we spent like about $400 on food. We just think
well, they also, out. In the past, have auctioned off any leftover pizza, too. Do you think that again?
So
where's
that?
Yeah, that money.
Yeah.
See what CPSEP has over
there. I've emailed or I'll see what kind of response she has. But the point I'm thinking, I guess the way I was thinking too was that there were funds from the CPSEP that came in that it might be able to offset itself. But,
I think that's a separate funding stream.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was thinking the extra money would come from, though, if you only reach $100.
Not actually the offset.
And Deb's getting back to me.
Deb will get back to me, so I'll follow up on it.
Okay.
We would definitely struggle anywhere we try to reach.
Well, and then to that, I was going to follow up with the budget for the President's address. I mentioned this in the last meeting because, again, it was much more than we've had in the past. So if this is going to be a regular event, if this is what the VA anticipates doing on an annual basis, then we need to budget accordingly. We can't really ask Mary to cover things and Peggy to cover costs. And while I understand our budget, believe me, I do, it just seems that with the extra money that we've asked for.
Well, again, Peggy's taking the opportunity to help us out here, at least try. She's already submitted a request for a much larger budget for next year. I believe it's $20,000.
In a request for $20,000 a year to establish funding for two presidential talks or meetings, whatever the heck you want to call them.
Okay.
And I did that mainly because not to ask for more than we need, but I heard David say that when he first came here that he was used in speaking to employees a couple of times a year, three or four if I'm not mistaken. So I thought, we might want to think about the employee assembly sponsoring twice a year. So when I was asked for some budget requests for FY09, I threw that in there as part of our university communications budget. So earmarking it for this event.
Yeah.
Also, along with that, we have talked informally, and sometimes we have to bring it informally here and talk about, but we did talk about the venue that we currently have for the President's address and whether that's the venue we want to keep, because it is a very expensive venue, and do we want to reformat it, and obviously it's going to take some work to
get approvals and so forth, but it's something we are going to address also. It's at the right place to be, it's the right way to present it. So there's two things going on. May I ask if you've heard anything on your proposal?
And I probably won't for a while. These are very preliminary FY09 requests, so it wouldn't even kick in until next July.
I want to start spending now.
Yeah, I know. So this is just for our divisional preparation for ABG. I can't remember. It's a different executive budget name now, and I can't get the three-letter acronym out. What is it? OPC. Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, just let us know what you come up with the grant money. And I'm sure we'll hear if we have to readjust our budget request or if we get it. Emergency grant funds.
I can speak to that.
Definitely.
I think the preliminary figures on that was that $5,000 was earned as we are.
How does that compare to?
I think last year there was more. I think last year was closer to $6,000.
Okay.
This year, $5,000 is what is usually given in the pockets.
Okay.
That one other $5,000
here. Very good.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, Benny. Personnel policy?
Oh, personnel policy. Actually, this is where I can talk about wellness. I wasn't here at the meeting a month ago when Beth McKinney came and talked to all of you about the wellness initiative and the time off. And anyway, she and I met yesterday, and she's done scads of research and just done a whole lot of work to help build data around why people need to participate in wellness programs and how that would be a thing. So at the conclusion of our meeting yesterday, I agreed that I would call a meeting on the Personnel Policy Committee, and this would be the topic of the discussion and invite her to attend, just to kind of give the rest of the committee the details. But as I say, she's done a lot of legwork, and this thing is just about ready to go and a resolution ready to be written. So I think that will come forward really quickly from the personal policy. Just to give you kind of the crux of it, right now there's this myth out there that everybody's allowed 3 hours worth of time a week to participate in wellness or some other well-being activity. But that's not a policy. It's not an HR policy or a university policy. There's nothing that says that it has to be followed. So supervisors and managers who don't want to give up that time don't have to. So what she's put together and the data kind of supports this compared to our peers, that if it's 90 minutes of a minimum requirement a week, so that would allow somebody to work out a half an hour, you know, 3 days a week, something. That would be a minimum requirement. So that's what she's suggesting would be a reasonable thing to write in a resolution and establish a policy as a minimum. So, personnel policy committee members will begin the email to me to set up a time, and soon we need to move on that issue. So, lots and lots of work. I was in on the initial meeting with Bethany, and she met with Chet Wardinsky and did a whole bunch of stuff. So now we'll be connected.
I would like to offer if your committee would like any help writing resolution, Ari is good at it.
Yeah, so great.
If you want help, he's our man.
Yeah, and maybe what I'll do is invite you to the meeting so that you can. Okay, so that you can hear the conversation and that'll help you track the resolution so that you have the background.
That sounds great.
Ari is empowered to write our resolution.
Outstanding. Thanks, Donna.
He's good there.
IOC.
We have met recently because it's hard to schedule. But I guess we have a bunch of new people who are interested in plans of the EA, and Carrie was good enough to ask Amy about the name, so we contacted them individually, asked for our new health policy, and it was
orientation.
Yeah, orientation policy, our mentoring policy. So we're looking forward to having a bunch of new people. And I know we have one or two of the last couple weeks who came and expressed interest in coming back again. So that's very cool.
So we have Amy to punch it out. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 who are interested.
Awesome.
And so,
yeah, employee assembly members?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 5 people interested in
the team. Jump on that.
Yeah, we're trying.
That's what we're
trying.
Yeah.
Jump on that.
Get away, yeah.
Well, they have to, the candidates actually have to, you know, get the signatures and get the packets out. So, I mean, we can just nudge them along.
That's what I don't know. I'm ignorant of some of that. Okay.
There's 5 people who are representing.
We'll keep everyone updated on that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
You sure
there's anything wrong with that, right? Eileen Cunningham, Julie Magura, Nancy Leonard, Jennifer Cornell, and Patricia Meenan. So those are the 5 who have picked up packets already. And then I just requested a list like an hour ago, and Amy was able to pull together those people and. With the idea that we'd make sure that one of the current Santa EA members is is basically hooked up with them so that we make sure they don't fall through the cracks, their enthusiasm in joining.
Is there any way to find out, or Amy, I imagine you may know, what college or what area they represent in Dow, statutory, whatever?
I didn't type it on the list, but yeah, I do have it.
Because I'm very concerned that the contract college side has basically no representation besides me.
There's at least one who's contract.
Oh,
there's at least one who's contract. And I'm not sure what the other is. I mean, two. So there's
two
who are contract.
Julie McGurris from
John.
Mm-hmm. From museum.
And Nancy's from HR.
Yep. So we actually intentionally went around and said, you know, are you contact? So we were out recruiting people where
I emailed out those posters. Everyone should have gotten an individualized poster with their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can hang it up in your area and people can knock on your door. It's a little bit more intimate than having to email some scary email address out in the big wide world. And the other policy thing is kind of ongoing is the charter changes, which include emergency grant fund, tenants, which is tabled for now, just charter changes in general, which slowly but surely will plug away at. But they're not as important now because we're more interested in getting full assembly. That's it. Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. University benefits?
University benefits. So this will be quick. I got a very nice letter from Charlie Walcott saying that I was no longer the chair. Thank you very much for your service. I know.
What committee?
University benefits. They switched. So
right.
a faculty member. Anyway, so the new chair is a faculty member. However, I still will be on the committee as a member. So I didn't get kicked off entirely. Overstayed my welcome for something. So we haven't met yet, but as I said in the last meeting, I expect that we'll pick up on the retirement benefits, the medical benefits issue will be, that'll be happening soon. So as soon as the meeting is scheduled, I'll let you know.
Thank you. Employee education.
Employee education. I have a comment. I think that what Mary said about the tuition reimbursement program and the initiative was a little bit out of line, in my opinion. I've been chair of Employee Education Committee for 3 years, and we've been talking about this for 3 years. Her comment at the president's address that there was a tuition initiative on her in HR was news to me. So to me, it's a two-way street. I mean, it's nice for her to say if we have any information, we should come and share it with her. However, she has not included me in any of those discussions that have happened to date. And there are staff members, HR people, Maureen Brault in particular, who's on the education committee, who has some dependency. So that's the comment I want to make, is it's a two-way street. So if she's working on stuff, we didn't know about it either. So that said, I think the next step then would be for me to call Maureen Brill, who's kind of the person who coordinates the tuition program, and maybe sit down with her and get caught up and invite her to the next employee registration committee meeting.
Thank you. We're going to move on. That closes our committee reports. Old business, the Inclement Weather Policy Committee update.
We met for our second and last time a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. The policy has been finalized and will be presented to senior administration, and hopefully in the next month or so. We should hear it. The one hang-up that we all had was identifying, we changed the language. We were calling them essential personnel. And we don't do that now. Now it's critical function. That's what we're calling. Essential's out the window, critical is down the window. And the reason for that is, as we discussed, this is a 24/7 operation, so you can't ever close the university.
Right.
But what departments have to do is make certain that they have an emergency strategic plan in place, that they have identified the critical functions, and that they are prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of pushback is put into the departments to take care of that. So it's going to be all wrapped up, and hopefully we'll hear something soon.
And then if it's shifted back to the department, for them to come up with a plan, if we start getting feedback that the plan isn't working, who do we give that to?
Well,
is that back to you to then give
me?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, but I'm, I'm waiting.
But I think, though, too, and we kind of chatted about it a little bit, it departments do have to take some responsibility to notify their staff. And supervisors need to identify which of their staff they would consider to need to come in during that critical period. So just because you're a technician in a program doesn't mean every technician has to come in and water plants or whatever. So so we need to have those supervisors make that plan, get that plan in place too.
And I think that's all part of the whole emergency preparedness initiative is that the supervisors are supposed to be doing that now and identifying.
Right. I think one of the key pieces of this is departments having a plan of what to do and who needs to do what, and not everyone, if everyone isn't here. And that there's also been a fair amount of work between, I'll just call it Steve Golding's area and Tommy Bruce's area. So university communications has been working with folks like Joe Lawley, who have always been very involved with weather and helping that coordination and determination. Ostrander with Cornell Police and how that connects to the sheriff and the state police and all that kind of stuff. So all of those things are happening at the same time. So who's making the decision and how we're communicating it is one thing. Having a plan once you're communicated that we're closing is gets down to the unit level as well. So, and I don't have the magic number on, or the magic wand of when the university would close or not.
That's the 3 a.m. phone call.
That's the 3 a.m. phone call that we were hoping to have fewer people on this year than we did last year. It was quite a lot fewer of us, and myself included, for a couple of those. So,
is that outcome going to be put in proper in some type of kind of article form to say that the committee grew together?
Once it's been ratified by the university, it's a deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just do one thing? Can I make a motion to extend the meeting for 5 or 10 minutes?
It's great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Can I ask one question? Are there other substantive changes on the assignment weather policy other than the changing the name from essential functions to critical functions?
I don't think so. I mean,
I'm not from the draft.
You know, here's my personal opinion and thoughts on this. It feels like historically Cornell never closed, and that was what we kind of went by. And you made your own decisions, and you know, that's why we have personal time and or vacation time, because if you didn't feel like you wanted to drive in that day or wanted to go home early, you have that, you know, especially personal time to do that. I think it changed a little bit because decision makers have changed over the years, and there's a little bit different approach, and so it became fuzzier. Because it always used to be, we didn't close unless the county closed the road.
Right.
And the county...
You know, in a lot of ways, it's really
right, for some staff, yeah. Although we always ran into the no unnecessary travel problem, because having worked in a dining unit where I would get a staff member calling saying, I can't come in because they've closed the roads, and because that's how that staff person interpreted no unnecessary travel, and then we would have to explain that work is necessary travel. Going to buy, you know, a six pack of beer may be unnecessary travel. But anyway, so I think we have some challenges. We have different decision makers, and I think we're just going to have to figure that out and learn with it and be ready to communicate. And that's where I think we've done a lot of good work in terms of pulling the trigger of notification and where that all gets notified. One of my big things lately has been helping people know the 255-3377 number, which is a Cornell Police inclement weather line. And I think, you know, that would be a good thing to help people know about as we get closer to snow season.
And the special conditions.
Special conditions page, we're ready to go. And CU Info can have the immediate notification too. So there's all kinds of better ways that we can do a better job on a widespread level of communication. So a lot of good stuff in there.
Great, thank you. New business, EA Shirts and Pens proposal.
Sorry, I should probably say we skipped over the other one above it, because Mary was sent the document and she put a whole bunch of comments, and Marilyn Wilkins, her assistant, asked us to please not share that at this meeting. So that's why.
I thought that's what she meant. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
That's what she meant.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. So that's why we haven't done that.
I'll email it.
John.
I got a D-minus.
A bad
D-minus.
For an A. Well, it's good that you're fostering communication with the administration in this way, right?
Exactly.
I'll bring
the process. That's a good thing.
So, Peter's going to rework it, and then we'll have it to the point where...
And shirts?
Pens and shirts. I'd like to order 20 polo shirts. This is from the Communications Committee. We discussed it. We got feedback from people, and we all thought it would be nice to look similar at events. So 20 shirts and 500 pens, again, to be used at any of the functions that we're at, that we want to represent the employee assembly. I'm just going to pass this around. You can look at the shirts and the pens. I have pictures of them.
Amy, are there any pens left over from...
Yeah, they're awful.
They are, but
they're
they
awful.
Have... They're awful.
They have the old...
Yeah, the caps never stayed on.
Okay.
They have the old address on them.
Oh,
yeah.
So they actually are actually that way. They have
a
wrong email address on
them. Oh, web.
No. Yeah, they go back quite a ways.
So the total cost for getting the polo shirts and the pens would be $555. So that's what I am proposing.
Hi, Brian.
And I already talked to Bill about it. And we have money in the communications
by four, we can pay for lunch.
Yeah, I think about that.
Will we have like a Cornell logo on those shirts, or will they just be?
No, we will. So for the shirt, they would be, it's a red shirt. It's not the colors there. I just pulled the picture. So red shirt, Cornell red, with white embroidery for the university seal, and it'll say employee assembly on it. And then Amy will be working on getting us the lanyards, so that we'll have those for each event. And then the pens will have the title, the Cornell University Employee Assembly. It'll have our web address. And then it'll have the email that we have now on it as well, the ea@assembly.cornell.edu. And if three lines of print are too much, then we'll just go with the web address and the Cornell University Employee Assembly. So, I don't know. I guess I make a motion to see if this will be approved. Is that how we do that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
A motion to approve the $555 that the shirts and the pens.
Go
ahead. I'll second.
Okay.
Just put a vote.
Yes.
You ready?
Or discussion vote.
Discussion.
Is there any dissent?
Yeah. I have a question. Okay. Sure. Are we going to buy ourselves shirts instead of paying for the emergency grants,
No. The money for that.
We didn't have the money to take care of Mary's emergency grant fund.
Actually, what the discussion was in the ANGRA committee is that Bill had contacted Deb Billups, or was going to contact Deb Billups, to see where the money for that pizza had gone, because traditionally the same amount of pizza had been purchased and the same amount of money had transacted, and it worked out. So he's checking to see where that money, the food, the money that people paid for food is supposed to go to pay for it.
But I think we should table this decision until we know that we can cover the emergency grant fund.
I'm stuck in that.
Okay.
You just made a motion.
I second it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have two motions on the floor. First of all, I'd like to table the first motion. You have to vote against it. You have to shoot it down first, and then find your second motion.
Yeah.
So we'd actually have to vote against your motion.
Yeah.
Unless we got 2/3 vote.
Can we table the discussion and take a vote later?
We've already got a motion on the table. We can't.
Sure. You can, I think the person who's submitted can withdraw the motion, though.
So I can withdraw. I will withdraw the motion.
There you go. I'll say with Bob Headache.
Yes.
Can I ask, were these two things ever connected before?
No.
No.
One is for communications to the committee.
And the budget was already approved?
Right.
Without this in it.
What?
This was not a part of the budget that's been approved.
Within the budget, there's a communications portion, and this is not a line item within that. We're proposing, the proposal would be use the communications piece of the budget, part of it, to cover this cost of the shirts.
So this is from money that's already been set aside for communications?
For
communications.
Right. But not as a specific line item. That's the issue I have.
Yeah.
We don't have the money to do this,
and
so I'm not sure where it's coming from.
And we have a line item that we have shortfalling.
Well, to be really specific, we're in pain to move money from the Chili Chat forms, the spring forms for next year, into this.
Emergency grant fund raised $5,000. Time you got like a $300 overrun on pizza.
It's not ethical, with what Dennis was saying, for people to come and have bid whatever for and bought their things and assuming that that money is all going to go for the emergency grant fund, and then it ends up
pizza.
Fine.
The perception.
Right. Well, so.
The only thing I would say is I think that's happened. I don't know it, and I think I'm going to talk to them about it, but I think that's happened, or actually not that it makes it right, because I don't think our budget was ever set up for
$400 for lunches, and I don't think it went from $100 last year to $400 this year. I'm sure that they've always been paying for part of it.
Some money in there, I'm sure, that was set aside or kept separate stream for the
So I'll clarify that. I'll bring it back to everybody here so you know.
I guess it seems like there's this communications objective of the EA that's being held up for even the songs.
Yep.
And
you're exactly right.
I think we're out of time for everything.
We're all right with that.
And I know
emergency grant fund is this big communications thing that kind of
So I withdrew the motion for before and we tabled the discussion. So I'll call them and we'll close.
All right. Anybody
else? I'm really
excited about
okay.
That's okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.